Our first speaker of the afternoon session will be Brother David Green from Mansfield, Ohio, and he will be preaching on Why Preach the Doctrines of Grace.
Thank you, brother. I bring you greetings from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Mansfield, Ohio, where I'm pastoring now. It's a joy for us to be able to be here at this Bible conference. I want to thank Brother Wilson and the church for the invitation, as well as for the hospitality and fellowship. You know, this is my first time to be here. I've heard a lot about this conference and how good it is, and all the rumors prove to be true, and I appreciate it. And glad to be here. And if you have your Bibles, we'll go to the book of Jude. Jude in verse 3. It says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this opportunity we have to be here in Your house, to be with Your people. And Lord, we thank Thee for this Bible conference, for the Brother Wilson and the church for putting it on. Lord, for the messages that have been brought thus far. And we thank Thee for each one of these brethren that have come and brought these messages. We pray that You bless in the remainder of this conference the preachers to follow, and that You bless in this sermon as well. Your word will be presented in truth and received as such. And Lord, we pray that You use us for Thy name's honor and glory. Revive us is our prayer, Lord, and forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The subject that was assigned to me is Why Preach the Doctrines of Grace. This is a very important subject that, as I notice and have been around to different churches, I find that there are even Baptists who are compromising on this truth of the doctrines of grace. We find, though, that these doctrines are doctrines that have been taught and preached in Baptist churches all through from the time of Christ until now. And we're thankful that there are still some who are preaching and proclaiming these truths. It's hard for me to choose a text, not necessarily because there weren't any, but because there were so many that I could have used for this. I thought about Jude verse 3, and he says, to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. We need to earnestly contend for the truth. If we fail to do so, to earnestly contend for the faith, whether we're talking about church truth or the doctrines of grace, or any other doctrine that we hold to, we will stand to lose them. You know, it doesn't take a church long to fall into heresy. It doesn't take a preacher long to fall into heresy when they neglect some of the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I know sometimes people complain and they say, "Well, we know the doctrines of grace. Why do you always want to preach them? Why is it that they're brought up at Bible conferences and things like that?" But it's a fact of the matter that we need to earnestly contend for them. And one of the ways that we must earnestly contend is by preaching them. We can't say that we believe the doctrines of grace and then neglect to preach them in our pulpits and in our churches. I've written down a bit of an outline that I hope to get through in the next 27 and a half minutes. The doctrines of grace. There are so many reasons why we should preach them. And in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and beginning at verse 1. It says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist to make full proof of thy ministry. One of the first reasons that came to my mind as to why we should preach the doctrines of grace is because they're supported by Scripture. You know, if it's in God's Word, we as Baptists ought to believe it, and we ought to preach it. And we ought not to be ashamed of it, even for just a moment, because it's all profitable. Whether we're talking about the Old Testament or the New Testament, we can preach it, proclaim it, and we ought to. We need to preach all 5 points of the doctrines of grace without fail. I run into some of these people that tell me they don't believe any of the doctrines of grace, and then I've come into contact with some people who say they're 3-pointers or 4.5-pointers. I don't understand all that stuff. I really don't. And some people say that, well, I believe that, but I wouldn't dare preach it at my church. I'd run people off. You know, the Bible tells us we're to preach the Word whether or not they'll listen, whether or not the people will want to hear it. We're to preach the Word. The time that Paul spoke of here in 2 Timothy 4, I believe, is now. The time has come when people don't endure sound doctrine anymore. I guess it's been a couple of months ago, we got a resume from a preacher in the area. He thought maybe we could use an assistant pastor or another pastor. He wrote down all of his qualifications, and one of the things he wrote in there was that he doesn't preach doctrine. I looked at it and said, well, we need to get back to him, tell him he's applying at the wrong church. I don't understand how people can say I don't preach doctrine when we and say that they preach at all, because I don't see how you can avoid preaching doctrine and still preach. It just doesn't make much sense to me. You know, it's one of those doctrines that we proclaim, we preach, and some people, well, you either find those that hate it and those that love it. We love it. We proclaim it and we preach it. There are people who say, well, I'd come to your church if you didn't believe that sort of thing. But the fact is, if they don't believe the doctrines of grace, we wouldn't want them as members anyway. The doctrines of grace is precious doctrines that we need to preach and proclaim because they elevate God to the level that He deserves. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1 there, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Listen, the doctrines of grace put God where He deserves to be put in our system of theology. Anything else, I don't, you know, the Arminian system of doctrine elevates man above God. But the Bible puts God above man in the doctrines of grace. Being a biblical doctrine puts God in the same place as the Bible does. The doctrines of grace, they all point to God. And when we look at the doctrines of grace, we can say with the men of old, In Scriptures, salvation is of the Lord. There's a lot of people out there who think that their salvation is based on their baptism. That they'll talk about how that God cast a vote for them, the devil cast a vote against them, and they made the deciding vote. You know what? all sorts of things and strange ideas are out there. But listen, God is to be exalted and praised for our salvation. But I suppose that another reason that we need to proclaim and preach the doctrines of grace is because not only do they put and elevate God to the place that He deserves, but puts man down to where we need to be put. In the book of Romans, chapter 3, Romans chapter 3, starting there at verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit, and the poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. The Bible paints a very, very ugly picture of man and his depravity. But yet, popular preaching says that man is not all that bad. That there's a spark of goodness in everybody. I suppose that that's the reason that the doctrines of grace are so much hated in so many different circles. The reason that they're not as popular as what they once were. The reason that people shy away from them. But knowing what the Bible says and knowing from our own personal experience, we have to agree that man is totally depraved. That there's no hope in and of ourselves. You see, we've all come short of the glory of God. When you combine these last two thoughts here, someone once said, I remember, said, God is the hero, but man is a big fat zero. And that's exactly the way that the Bible puts it. That's the way the system of doctrines put it as well. Which, by the way, the doctrines of grace are often known as Calvinism in the world. And people tend to think that John Calvin started these doctrines, but I disagree with that. For I find that there have been preachers long before John Calvin was ever born. I read in my Bible and find these doctrines very plainly set forth before there was ever a Calvin or a Luther or anything like that. So it's a mistake to call ourselves Calvinists or to call this doctrine Calvinism. But that's the nickname that we've been given. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I believe that we ought to preach the doctrines of grace because they present the gospel message in a biblical way. The Bible does not ever describe the gospel as being a gospel of works, but in this case describes it as being the gospel of the grace of God. It is a message of grace, love, and mercy that is not based upon any work that we could ever do or hope to do, but is all because of God's sovereign will and pleasure of why we're saved today. The true gospel is not the gospel of the Arminian. It is the gospel of grace. Of course, grace being that free, unmerited love and favor of God, the spring and source of all the benefits man receives from Him. That's the way Mr. Webster put it in his original dictionary. As I talk to people and read things, sometimes I'll glean some good things, sometimes I'll read some things I wish I'd never read. And sometimes I've read some books that weren't worth the paper they were printed on. And so bad I don't even want to sell them. I mean, I wouldn't want somebody else to get a hold of them. But one of the things that I read as I was studying this, Charles Spurgeon wrote something that I was impressed by. He says, "I have my own private opinion that there is no such thing as preaching Christ and Him crucified unless we preach what nowadays is called Calvinism. It is a nickname to call it Calvinism. Calvinism is the gospel and nothing else." Of course, I don't think for a second that Spurgeon thought that the doctrines of grace originated with Calvin. But we're talking about total depravity of man, the unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and the preservation and perseverance of the saints. This is the gospel that we preach. Anything else is not the true gospel of the Bible. Turn with me to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 6. "And if by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise work is no more work." I've heard some very good messages in some of the churches I've been in. They talk about the grace of God and they talk about salvation by grace. And then at the end of their message, they'll sing 20 verses of an invitation hymn, try to invite people to come down to the altar to get saved. I don't understand these things. So many in our day have added works into the gospel message. But if you've ever listened on the radio or heard in person some of these preachers like that, you've noticed the same thing I do. How in the world can they say they believe in salvation by grace and still have an altar at the front of the pulpit? Invite people to come down and get saved. That ruins the whole message. It really does. Just throwing in that works type salvation. I've even heard some people go as far as say, "Well, salvation's by grace, but you need to be baptized, or you need to do this or that." No, we need to proclaim the doctrines of grace as they have been proclaimed in the Bible. In the book of Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 6, he says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." These are strong words, brethren, but these are true words. These are words from Paul, but they're not even really... He didn't write them just off the top of his head. These were inspired words of God. And there are many in our day who have become removed from the true gospel, and they've started preaching a different gospel. We need to make sure that we don't get tangled up into those things. I understand there's that old flesh that rises up and every once in a while it comes into our mind and says, "Well, we better not preach the doctrines of grace. We might run somebody away or offend somebody." But listen, if we really believe the doctrines of grace, we're not going to keep any of the elect from hell by preaching. Let me rephrase that. We're not going to keep any of the elect from heaven, and we're not going to run them away. fact, I can tell you right now, I was saved during a Bible conference back in 1992. And it was a Bible conference where the doctrines of grace were proclaimed very strongly. And the fact is, the Lord used those messages to save my soul. I wasn't run away by it. The Lord used that message. And I believe we can proclaim the doctrines of grace and not be ashamed of to proclaim them often and always. In the book of John, chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 16. He says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." We didn't choose God, but God chose us. He did it not because of our own works, but really in spite of our works. Before we could do anything good or evil, we were chosen. You know, if salvation were based on works, I know I wouldn't be saved. And I dare say that none of you all would be either. We're really honest with ourselves. After all, what work could we possibly do whereby we could gain the favor of Almighty God? We're not worthy of even the least of His favors. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 through 10 there, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Salvation is all of grace. And there's no room for us to boast. I'm telling you what, if the Lord had said that in order to be saved, we needed to believe on Him and wiggle our finger, we'd probably brag about the fact that we wiggled our finger. I mean, that's just the way it is. I talk to people. There's this woman come, and I asked her if she come to the services. I asked her if she'd been saved. She said, "Well, I was baptized." I said, "No, I didn't ask you if you were baptized. I want to know, where have you been saved?" And she said, "Well, a couple of times." People are confused about salvation. I'm afraid that there's a lot of people who have been convinced that they're saved when they're not. And the Arminian doctrine is an evil doctrine, a doctrine that has convinced many people that they're going to heaven when the facts may be otherwise. I'm not saying that no one's saved in Arminian churches, but I'm saying that there are a lot of people, I'm sure, who have been deceived. We need to proclaim the doctrines of grace because the blood of Christ is precious. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18-19. "Forasmuch as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot." The blood of Christ is precious, and the doctrines of grace bring that out. The alternative, those that say that Christ died for everybody, well, what's so precious about the blood of Christ then? If some of His blood was spilled and shed for people who are on their way to hell and end up in hell, where's the preciousness there? But Christ did not die for everybody without exception. He died for an elect group of people. His blood was shed for us and no one else. What a precious thing it is to think that not one blood, one drop of His blood was wasted. And everybody that He died for will, without exception, be in heaven one day. A lot of different reasons we could bring out for preaching the doctrines of grace, but let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4 to kind of draw this to a close. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. You ever get to preaching and you try to find a book like 1 Timothy, it seems like it's done left you. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at, chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." These are very important words that we need to take to heart. We're to take heed to ourselves and to the doctrine. We must preach the doctrines of grace often without hesitation, because by doing this, we'll save ourselves and those that hear us. It doesn't mean that just because we preach the doctrines of grace that everybody that hears us will be saved eternally. But what it does mean is even deeper than that, is that we will save ourselves and those that hear us from the awful errors and heresies that are out in the world. The preacher who neglects the doctrines of grace will soon find either himself or the church he pastors falling away from the truths of the grace of God and becoming more and more Arminian. We must proclaim these precious truths. May God bless you.
And let's please stand, turn to page 224 in your red hymnal.